The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the All Elite Podcast.
All Elite Podcast.
Covering all the latest news and results from the AEW.
Wait a minute. Right to the side of the head of Cody.
This is pro wrestling analysis as you've never heard before.
Deathly Hallows!
Might be it.
One, two, three, can save it!
Coming to you every single week. So without any further delay, let's go all in and get the show started right now.
Hello and welcome everybody to the AEW Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Perez, at Spots High on Twitter. And of course, we are at the end of the premiere episode of AEW Dynamite on TNT television. And what a show it was. There's a lot to unpack from start to finish. But, you know, I want to jump right into it because I'm just coming off of watching it just about 20 minutes or so ago from recording this podcast here tonight, and I have to say I am very well satisfied. Not 100% sold that was the best show they could have put on. Definitely think it was a little light in some areas. Some areas need a little improvement, but we'll get into all of that as we go through this podcast here this evening. But first off, I want to jump right into the end of the card that we saw tonight, which was, of course, Chris Jericho, Santana, and Ortiz versus Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks in the main event. And this started off with a huge bang. We immediately had Jon Moxley making his appearance. Bit of a surprise. He was announced as being at this show, but the actual presentation of him being in the ring behind Kenny Omega and doing the gun pose at him like Kenny likes to do, and standing there ready for a fight, it was a really nice moment, really good callback to All Out, and everything has just been really well executed when it comes to Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley, and you can really feel the hype building around it. The crowd, it's worth mentioning right off the bat, the crowd was phenomenal through the entire night. It looked like it was really packed full of fans. Didn't look like a fake sellout whatsoever. It definitely looked like the crowd was really, really into it. Felt like a really rabid fan base out there, and that's always great to see. But you really felt them behind that moment when Jon Moxley came up behind Kenny Omega and was just ready to get things started with their brawl and ended up going to the back, and you had a really nice callback moment with Kenny Omega too, where he cracked the mop over the back, referencing his cleaner gimmick that he had in New Japan, and just everything, all in all, everything was executed so beautifully. Then you had a almost CZW-esque Jon Moxley moment when he lifted Kenny Omega for the dirty deeds and put him through that table, and that was an excellent moment as well. Just everything with that was beautifully done and really made me kind of jump out of my seat. It was a really intense moment, and the glass table especially was a beautifully done spot. Really made it look like it was, you know, he was a crazy SOB, so to speak. And another thing worth mentioning too, as I'm saying SOB, what a great way of them using TV-14, even in the commentary. I did have to laugh at the end there when I heard Jim Ross finally say, "Holy shit," out loud. That was a pretty great moment. But anyway, getting back into it, you know, you had the interruption at the beginning of the match, and it definitely made it seem like we might not see this match go to fruition, but it didn't end in a DQ, which I thought was actually really refreshing. It was nice to have a little bit of outside involvement without the classic, oh, the match is over, so we move on to this gimmick now, or this segment, rather. It just felt really refreshing that they were willing to go that direction here and continue the match after the fact. And we did ultimately see Chris Jericho and Santana and Ortiz, I guess going as Proud and Powerful from what I've seen on Twitter here in AEW, formerly LAX, of course. They ended up picking up the victory. A really crazy finish all in all, too. It got really fast-paced. The Young Bucks were hitting a lot of offense, and Nick Jackson in particular was just showing out at the end. The Tope Suicida over the top at the end there was just absolutely perfect. Just everything was so crisp in the ring with them tonight. You could tell they were really into the fact that they were in the main event on TNT television, probably the grandest stage they're going to be on for quite some time. So many eyes on the product, trending number one on Twitter, you know, as big as you can get, basically, with this event. And they really soaked it in and took advantage of that and showcased their abilities on a grand scale. And then having the ending where they were going for the Meltzer driver, and then you ended up having Jericho get involved with that. Great work all in all with the way they ended that. A little lackluster at the beginning, started off a little slow, but it of course led to that great Moxley Omega moment, so that's ultimately forgivable. And they ended strong, and then we had a crazy melee end up happening where Jake Hager ended up making his debut for AEW. Got a little bit spoiled by some of the dirt sheets that he might be making an appearance, but you know, that's what you get with 2019 wrestling. Unfortunately, not every surprise is gonna be quite as well executed as the Moxley surprise at All Out was, but ultimately we still have to give it up for the fact that they are still bringing in new exciting talent. Although some may criticize former WWE guy, I say definitely bring in the names that are going to help you regardless. It doesn't mean that you just reject a guy because he was from WWE. And I think especially now, which they touched on the commentary, was the fact that he is, you know, a Bellator MMA competitor now as well with a 2-0 record. You know, I'm sure probably some tomato cans to get to 2-0. But then again, I haven't really followed Bellator in quite some time. So that's, you know, something that they're going to definitely touch on and probably build his gimmick around, which I think is brilliant. You know, you see how well Brock Lesnar works and how much of a monster he feels like, even more so after going into MMA and coming back to wrestling after the fact. So you could very well see something similar with Jake Hager, and the We the People chants were almost deafening at the end. It seemed like the commentators didn't even know what to do. And I remember seeing Jake Hager at a Northeast Wrestling event that happened to also have Cody Rhodes at it as well, and it definitely was a crazy moment when he ended up, there was a balcony over the stadium, and he looked down and he did the salute for We the People, and just in unison, the crowd just instantly reacted to it. Huge pop, huge reaction, so I definitely think that he's somebody who could be a fixture in the main event scene for AEW, having that familiar face and having that fan support already behind him. So it'll be interesting to see where he lines up, especially if you look at the card for next week for AEW Dynamite. It's a little thin at the moment. You have the Young Bucks versus Private Party and Shawn Spears versus Jon Moxley announced, but not too much else is on the card there yet, so we'll see if that ends up maybe in including Jake Hager in his first return match. That definitely would be a great way to bring people back for the next week of television. So interesting to see how they're going to be building with their YouTube channel and everything like that towards next week's show as well. Definitely think this was a solid main event. Could have been a little bit better. I was expecting maybe a little bit more in-ring action towards the end there, but we did have the great Moxley moment moment to sacrifice that for. So if you have to sacrifice for something, that was definitely something to do it for. And I think that, you know, it's an interesting stable setup as well now that you have Sammy Guevara, Chris Jericho, Santana and Ortiz, Jake Hager all seeming to come in some sort of alliance. It'll be interesting to see if they actually form an outright stable or if they just choose to be loosely affiliated with each other. It'll be just interesting to see how they cultivate that going forward, if they choose to just leave it as, associates or whatever you would like to call it. I definitely think that a full-on stable would be great to help Sammy Guevara, Santana and Ortiz, and, to a lesser extent, but still some, Jake Hager, just by their involvement with Chris Jericho and the AEW champion. So definitely would be pushing for a full-on stable to happen if it's not already in the works for AEW Dynamite's future. So all in all, definitely think that is going to be an interesting story to follow up on. But there is so much more in this card that we have to go through. And speaking of Sammy Guevara, we'll run right back to the top of the card and take a look at Cody defeating Sammy Guevara in the initial match on TNT television. And I have to say, the video packages, the presentation for this leading into it, Cody's entrance and the pyro and everything to do to kick off the show just felt like a huge deal. So props to everybody involved in making that opening segment of AEW Dynamite a memorable moment and really fitting for the way that this has been hyped and just the machine behind AEW as a whole. And they really captured that essence and formed it really well with the video package lead in, and just everything to do with that opening was fantastic in my opinion. As for the actual match that it led into, it was definitely a great contest, some good back and forth. I think it may have ran a little long, may have lingered just a little bit, but I think that that's, just growing pains as they figure out how to utilize their television time. I think some of the matches later on in the card could have maybe used a little of the time that they kind of hung on, but all in all, I think this match was a great showcase of Sammy Guevara, and Cody just looked fantastic in this match as well. I think he looked some of the crisp I've seen his wrestling in quite some time. So to see that be a good platform for him to jump off on, and you could tell he was really hamming it up to the crowd and taking in all of that emotion of being there for the first time. And you had a really great moment where he embraced Tony Schiavone at the end. Excuse me if I'm butchering his name, but he ended up embracing him, and you could see the emotion in Cody's eyes as he kind of welled up and embraced the fact that he just took that victory on his own promotion. Some may give criticism to that, but I mean, the fact that he's clawed his way here and he's made it, I think he was very deserving of that initial win on the very first AEW Dynamite show. So very well deserved, very well put together match. If I had to put a grade on it, I would probably give it a solid B+. I think that there was some left in the tank here, but that's going to be the case when you're kind of getting the feelers for how you want to make your television product. You have to leave things for the pay-per-view events, Full Gear coming up in the future, so you have to leave some kind of meat on the bone to come back for later. And right away, though, they did a great job of leading into what is probably going to be the next feud, as we saw with Cody and Dustin Rhodes getting involved in the end of the night. We also saw Chris Jericho attacking Cody at the end of this match as well. Really beat him down really well, attacked him with a chair, took a camera out of the crowd and was taking pictures of himself over there, powerbombed him onto some chairs, and just did a really good, thorough beat down all in all, and definitely got some good cringe shots from Brandy as well as he did that beatdown and really sold that nicely and made it feel legitimate in that he was definitely getting getting the worst end of it as he was getting attacked there. So props to them for selling that, and Chris Jericho was just doing a fantastic job of doing a lot of offense on Cody and selling that beatdown and selling himself as a heel, which he's mastered the craft of over these years. So all in all, great match, great finish, and great to see you know, Cody getting that great launching off point to introduce or reintroduce to some wrestling fans himself on this grand stage. So great performance. But moving on up the card here, we next had MJF versus Brandon Cutler. And this match ran very short. And I think, unfortunately, it may have been due to an injury to Brandon Cutler. So definitely shout out to him, and hopefully if he is injured, it's minor and he'll have a speedy recovery to be able to get back onto television. I know he's a longtime friend of the Young Bucks, and I'm sure they want him to be a part of this process that they've begun, and they definitely want him to be a part of AEW as a big part of that going forward. So hopefully Cutler has a speedy recovery. Definitely looked like when he landed off the top rope, he tweaked his leg pretty bad. Seemed like he was kind of giving out and called for the finish. MJF immediately locked in the Salt of the Earth armbar for a tap at the end there. So you could see that it kind of came quickly. And there's a moment where they embraced the ref, I think, for a distraction. And it definitely seemed like one of those quickly thrown together finishes like you saw with Chris Jericho and Pac, as a matter of fact, in their matchup where you saw Chris Jericho just berating the referee. I forget which referee it was from the WWE at the time, but a very similar situation it seemed like. So I'm not even going to really put a grade on how I feel this match went, because all in all, I think that MJF came out, did a great job, cut a great promo. So that was absolutely perfectly done, well-executed promo work and lead into the match, and the initial build up to the match was starting off really well. You know, you had Cutler hitting that suicide dive through the ropes, and there were some moments that you could definitely feel that there was the potential for an intense match to ensue, and it just didn't get to materialize. So we had a quick cutaway to commercial afterwards, and it just definitely had the feeling of somebody who had gotten hurt and kind of doing the quick cover-up job. So then we ended up having Jay and Silent Bob in the crowd, who you know, cut a promo basically, and were kind of going back and forth with Angelico and Jack Evans, and talking trash back and forth with them, and just, you know, generally making their displeasure known with the fact that Angelico and Jack Evans also have not taken a victory in AEW. Jason Mewes was the one who kind of hit him with that nice one-liner. So I was kind of anticipating, after seeing in WWE this week, after seeing Dominic get involved with the Rey Mysterio and getting beat down by Brock Lesnar, I was kind of thinking, like, am I gonna see Jay and Silent Bob take a bump here tonight? But that thankfully didn't come to fruition, as Private Party ended up walking up and basically saying that they were their boys and they were just there to protect them, I guess. And this is where it gets a little awkward. This angle definitely didn't quite hit on the level that I would have expected, and the presentation was a little lackluster and didn't really seem like they had it as well planned out as they could have. And I think it led to a little awkwardness as it kind of just ended without really having a payoff as to what Angelico and Jack Evans were doing. If I know they're going to be facing each other in the tag tournament, I believe. So, you know, that'll end up playing a factor in this whole setup, and I'm sure that's why they led into this, but not a whole lot of commentary work letting you know what was going on, and unfortunately that was a bit of an issue as well. I definitely noticed some people noting on Twitter that you know, there probably should have been a little bit more introduction, given that a lot of people are going to be coming into this product for the first time tonight. And I could see if I hadn't been following AEW as closely as I have, you would miss a lot of who's who and understanding what to care about and what feuds are going on and how they all link together. You know, it's not exactly like you can't get into it, but at the same time, it would have been nice if they would have kind of led people in a bit more. I think the opening segment was very, you know, Ultimate Fighter-esque, where they kind of led into each other and had Cody have his introduction, and then Guevara has his introduction, and they kind of gave you a brief feel of who's who there. So I think if they could have done a little more of that throughout the night, that would have been good, especially in this segment. It just felt like, you know, if you didn't know who Angelico and Jack Evans were, and, you know, you would just be, who's arguing with Jay and Silent Bob, and why are these other two guys in the crowd coming to their rescue? So they did end up mentioning, of course, that it was Private Party, but it just would catch the casual eye off guard if they didn't know who these people were that were involved here. So, and that was a constant theme throughout the night, and that's one of the negatives that I can say about the show, is that the overall presentation can definitely use some tweaking. The angle work is still a little bit off. But that's just something that's going to get better with time, so you can't really fault them for not getting everything perfect on the first television show. So I think that'll definitely come up again later on in the night. But next up, we ended up having SCU had a little dispute, I guess you would call it, after having a really nice lead-in with shots of the White House behind him and Scorpio Sky doing a damn near spot on impression of former President Barack Obama. And they basically, you know, did their usual spiel about how it's the worst town they've ever been in, and but some really nice tie-ins, as they had Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian dressed as kind of in the suits and like they were Secret Service members. So that was a nice call-in, and the Barack Obama impression was really, really amazingly done. So if that actually was Scorpio Sky doing that impression, I don't know. Maybe they had the voiceover or something, but it seemed genuine, so spot on work if that's the case. But this led into the Lucha Brothers coming in during a promo that they did in the arena, and basically just leading into their tag team tournament matchup. This was, you know, not bad. You know, you had the Lucha Brothers come in, and I think it was not Pentagon, it was Laredo, and he came in and did the lead in basically to set up the mic work from Pentagon, you know, to do their typical catchphrase. And it's not that it was bad, but it's just it came off a little hokey. I think that the two tag teams involved are both very talented, and SCU is phenomenal on the microphone, so I think that's kind of why you have that contrast when the Lucha Bros speak, because there is the language barrier, of course. So I think that, you know, having that be said, you could forgive that, of course, but it just definitely didn't help the angle all in all. And, you know, you just kind of had a big brawl, and it kind of left it at that. And I'm not a big fan of just having, you know, brawls tell a story of a feud or whatever you'd want to call this in this case, because it's really just leading into a match. So I think that it could have been a little bit better if they would have figured out a way to just overall bring this segment up a little bit more to the level of the talent that was involved. So I definitely think that the matchup will be fantastic. Sky did say that he is going to be allowing Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian to be the ones to be in the tag tournament. That being said, you'll have Lucha Brothers taking on Daniels and Kazarian, which is going to be very entertaining for the eye. So you really can't complain about what this segment is leading into. So I think it did what it did what it needed to do, but, you know, you can definitely tell that there's some work to be done on how to present the Lucha Brothers and see exactly how to use them on the mic, because I think that they can be on the microphone. It's just a matter of doing it in a way that accentuates them and makes them look really good in doing so. So I think, you know, brief spots and there's definitely ways that they'll figure out to better utilize them going forward, I believe. But all that being said, the very next contest up was Pac versus Hangman Page, and this was a phenomenal contest. I mean, for anybody who hasn't seen Pac in the past or hasn't been too familiar with his work, this was an absolute coming out party. A little bit slower than a typical match from him, but I definitely think that he still delivered with the hard-hitting offense, very stiff kicks and a lot of springboards and, you know, just flying around the ring and really showing how well he does. That being said, too, you had the finish with the Black Arrow to his back, and then leading into the Brutalizer on Adam Page, and that looked beautiful. I mean, the way that he cracked onto his back and then instantly rolled in for the Brutalizer submission, and, you know, Page ended up passing out again, which is a theme, as we've seen with the finish in the Kenny Omega match with Pac as well. So I think that this match really stole the show for me in terms of match quality, and I think that Pac just really sold the moves well as well. You know, showed that he can also take the offense as much as deliver the offense, and Page was looking great as well. He had one moment where he hit a moonsault to the outside that I thought was great. Definitely some nice work as well with Earl Hebner getting involved in getting the low blow and leading into the finish, and just really sold the whole Bastard Pack thing. And again, you know, it was great to hear the back and forth between Tony and Ross with the whole fact that he is nicknamed the Bastard, and you could tell they were kind of enjoying themselves when it came to the TV-14. So that was a constant theme on the commentary side that I definitely think was well appreciated by fans of both of them. And an interesting tidbit to think about when it comes to the dynamic between those two, you know, we had them basically facing off on the Monday Night Wars, so to have them come together and be the same voice on the Wednesday Night Wars, or the same booth rather, I should say, not same voice, they just really felt like a unique moment in wrestling, and that can be said about this whole event all in all, but really that was something that really stuck out in my mind as being a pretty special thing that they managed to combine. And I think they really worked really great with Excalibur, and I have to say I am glad that they made the switch on commentary. His name is escaping me, but I think the other guy that they had in the role previously just was not quite working. I know he came from a football background, and I think that he's probably ultimately better suited for the background interview or backstage interview kind of role. I think that'll be best for him, as he clearly looked a little out of his element when he was on commentary and looked a bit uncomfortable. And you know, Alex Marvez, that's his name, he just didn't seem to really be ready for the role that he was in at the moment. So I think that going forward, this will be a great booth, and they really sold this match very well. You could tell that they were as captivated as I was, I guess you could say, as this match went on. And ultimately, the finish was great, the spots were great throughout the match, and I really think that, all in all, I would give this match a solid A-. I think that there is a lot left in the tank with Pac, and we haven't seen the best of him, but even the average from Pac is better than most people's best when it comes to the in-ring contests. So I think you look across this whole card, and for a television show especially, the quality of the in-ring content is what really speaks about the AEW product, and that's just really what this promotion is all about, is letting the wrestlers wrestle and have a say in what they want to be and how they want to act, and taking care of their own character work and writing their own promos, or, you know, just freelancing their own promos, however they choose to do it. But it just shows in the product, and this match is a perfect example of how that can work so well. So kudos to both Pac and Adam Page for a fantastic contest, and I look forward to probably seeing some sort of rematch of this somewhere down the line, if it's not already in the works, as I think that this was a really good chemistry between the two, and I definitely think there is an A-plus matchup in them sometime in the future if they choose to go down that route. And speaking of great contests, as was the theme with the night tonight of AEW Dynamite's first show, we had the AEW Women's Championship with Riho defeating Nyla Rose to become the inaugural AEW Women's World Champion. And this was a war. I was really surprised at how well the both of them sold, given the dynamic. Of course, you know, Riho is under 100 pounds, and Nyla Rose is not under 100 pounds by a bit, I would say. You know, not to be insulting, of course, but there's definitely a clear size differential there that was clearly notated by the commentators as lightly as they could put it as well. And it just... they did a great job of dealing with that dynamic and doing it in a way that didn't feel forced, didn't feel like, you know, it didn't make sense. And Riho did a phenomenal job of offense. You could tell she was a bit nervous at the beginning of the contest, seemed a bit shaky, but she definitely came into her own. Speaks to the experience she's had for, I think she's been wrestling since 8 years old or something crazy like that. And it makes sense why Kenny Omega took her under his wing and has progressed her along. And great person to bring into AEW, and really well deserved first women's champion in a brutal back and forth contest, you could say. During the commercial breaks, which it's worth mentioning, were picture in picture with still live action going on in the ring, which is the perfect way to handle commercial breaks, in case you're taking notes over there, WWE. So I know you do it every once in a while on SmackDown. Go ahead and put that across the board. That should be a wrestling standard going forward. Now that it's 2019 and we have all these wrestling promotions, we can look at what we do right and try and repeat it. You're not stealing ideas. You're taking the good ones, you know? So just go ahead and keep that as a trend going forward. The wrestling world will thank you. Us fans, thank you. And I'm sure the advertisers will be a little upset, but at the end of the day, you're still cashing their checks, and I don't think that will change. So keep that as a standard going forward. But I digress. As this match went on, I saw during one of the commercial breaks that we had a moment where Riho was hanging on the ropes, and you had Nyla Rose jump down and land a knee on the back of her head, and it just looked really, really brutal. And there were many moments like that where Rose was dominating. But then you ended up having a crazy moment where there was an avalanche Northern Lights suplex from the ropes and down onto the canvas, and Riho lifting Nyla Rose over top of her. You had a moment earlier in the match where she had tried to do so, and it looked like she genuinely nearly broke her spine trying to do a back body drop onto Nyla earlier in the match. So to see her pull off this Northern Lights suplex and then end up hitting a Shinsuke-esque double knees, it was just a great, great contest. And all in all, I think that they really showcased the women's division, and it might have been the best women's contest, pretty safe to say, since the inception of AEW. Some have commented that it's been a little lackluster given the talent and the showcase of it as being something that's going to be a big part of their product. So I think this did a good job of shutting up the naysayers when it comes to that and showcasing what a war they could have between two of the women in the women's division. And Nyla Rose looked dominant, and I think she got over well from this contest. You had her attacking Riho at the end as well, when she was being interviewed by Michael Nakazawa. And had to do that, of course. And then, you know, Rose was going to hit a Death Valley driver on the apron to her, and you ended up having Kenny Omega come down to the ring and save that from happening. So there was a lot going on with the finish, but the great thing is that they just let these two duke it out inside of the ring and really give their all. And I think that both Riho and Nyla Rose came out of this looking great, and I think Nyla Rose actually getting some offense on some of the men as well. I think that was a great call in, and kind of showed that they're willing to also let her be dominant across the board, which is definitely always helpful to a woman's character who is in a wrestling ring to kind of prove their dominance, as we saw with Chyna throughout the Attitude Era. You know, the great matchup that she had taking the championship from Jeff Jarrett. You know, that was a great moment, and you know, more of that going forward is definitely something we could see in AEW's future. Maybe some mixed tag matches. We all know Riho and Kenny Omega like to team up in those sort of situation, so maybe that's what they're setting up here. Maybe Nyla Rose ends up getting her own tag partner, maybe a surprise situation, as we've seen AEW likes to do with the main event that we previously mentioned. So I think that this could definitely set something up all in all. But I once again digress a little bit here. The contest itself, I would say, is a solid B. I think that there was a lot left. They definitely capitalized very well on the opportunity they had. But I think that, you know, Riho will definitely do better with some smaller competition. Nyla Rose will do better with some larger competition. The dynamic was really done well here, but you know, it's never going to quite work when the size differential is quite so despairing. So, you know, with that said, a solid B for this matchup. And I think Riho and Nyla Rose are both fantastic competitors, and they have nothing but great matches in their future. I think you'll end up seeing Riho versus Britt Baker, as we saw her on commentary saying that she's going to get a shot at whoever is there, or, you know, something along those lines. So I definitely think that'll be the next matchup going forward, is Britt Baker versus Riho for the Women's Championship. But, you know, as we said, you know, with the main event, you know, they had some great moments in the main event. You know, not everything across the whole show was perfect, but all in all, I would say it was probably a solid A minus, just because of the fact the in-ring content was spot on, as you would expect. Some lackluster moments just in terms of the segments and angles they chose to go with throughout the night. But then again, they did have some home runs with those as well, as we saw with the Jon Moxley and Kenny Omega moments. So it's hard to really say they don't have it figured out, but it just probably needs some tweaking. So A minus is a solid grade given all of what we saw here, and I just really think that it was a great launching point. I will be watching NXT to get caught up on that and see what happened. I guess Finn Balor apparently appeared, and I haven't had enough time in the night to watch that yet. As I said, when I started this podcast, you know, about 20 minutes removed, we're now about 55 removed from that, you know, 35 minutes into this podcast. So I think that ultimately AEW did a great job of capitalizing on their television time, and the card from top to bottom had some great in-ring action and really sold, if you are a wrestling purist type, somebody who really focuses on the in-ring action and thinks that that's exactly what you're here to watch. I'm one of those included. I think that this was a very good showcase of that. And people who like New Japan will love this. People who like ROH will love this. Anybody who is a fan of wrestlers getting their spotlight inside of the ring as a focal point of what they're going to do with their career and what they're going to do to promote themselves in this crazy world of wrestling. So there is definitely a lot more wrestling in store for this week. Of course, you have Friday Night SmackDown's debut on Fox, and I went into a little bit of that with the WWE podcast from yesterday, but what a week of wrestling, and what a debut show we had with AEW Dynamite. But I think for now, that is all there is to say. There isn't too much more other than if you enjoyed this podcast, thank you so much for listening. I'm going to be a part of the AEW experience going forward, if you will let me do so. I'm going to be here after every Dynamite to break things down, let you know what I thought of it. And if you also would like to see my live reactions, you can follow me on Twitter at SpotsHigh. And all in all, a fantastic opening to AEW on TNT, AEW Dynamite. And I think that it is safe to say that AEW is here to stay, but I am not today. So until next time, goodbye and good night.
Goodbye and good night.
Goodbye and good night.
Goodbye and good night.
Goodbye and good night.